NHS white paper, no solution to failed Tory policies. Steve Score, Leicester Socialist Party. The publication of the Tories' white paper plans for the NHS was met with headlines about the government taking back control of the NHS and reversing past privatisation policies. As reported in last week's Socialist, the headlines were wrong. This does not signify a reversal of privatisation in the health service, nor an increase in democratic accountability. In fact, it signals an intention for further privatization. The COVID pandemic has revealed huge problems in the NHS due to past policies of underfunding and privatization. The lack of available beds, including intensive care, the unequal impact of the virus reflecting wider inequality in society, the huge staff shortages meaning that, even when Nightingale hospitals are built, they cannot be staffed properly, the growing waiting lists for treatment which were high even before the pandemic resulted in further, sometimes fatal, delays. Competition versus cooperation and integration. The Tories have effectively admitted the failings of the last top-down reorganisation of the NHS. The 2012 Health and Social Care Act brought in by the Tory Lib Dem coalition government. Tory MP Dean Poulter, who was a health secretary during that coalition government, spelt it out. The current structures are not fit for purpose as they focus on competition, and not enough on the integrated approach to health and social care that is so badly needed by patients. Before its introduction, the Act had been criticized by campaigners as further introduction of privatization in the NHS. It created new layers of bureaucracy, including around 200 clinical commissioning groups, CCGs, which buy health services from competing providers both public and private. It also created a complex web of other quangos to run the NHS, including NHS England as well as structures in other parts of the UK. It reduced some of the powers of the health secretary to direct the NHS. In fact, governments and the NHS nationally have been trying to overcome some of the problems it created ever since its introduction. But the NHS did not start being turned into a marketplace in 2012. The Thatcher Tory government began a process in the 1980s, continued under Tory Prime Minister Major and New Labour's Blair, which developed the internal market. There was a split created between purchasers and providers, and the NHS trusts were established along with a system of payment by results. The ideology behind it was that a competitive market would give patients the ability to choose the best hospitals, and that they would prosper. For the neoliberal right, it was a step towards the sell-off of the NHS. The reality was quite different. It could never work like this idealized free market, and there was a huge increase in the cost of administering NHS bureaucracy. The 2012 Act made the situation worse. For example, its Section 75 enforced competitive tendering for services. NHS England has recently developed a long-term plan to replace the CCGs with a smaller number of integrated care systems, ICS. The idea of integrating services, including social care with health care, is of course an attractive one. But the devil is in the detail, and the proposals do not really do that. As set up, they are likely to increase private sector involvement in the NHS, while doing nothing to solve the problems of integration. The white paper proposes a legal framework for the establishment of these bodies, although splitting them between commissioning bodies and health and care partnership boards, making clear that these can include private companies. They will also rely on new digital and data systems provided by the private sector. Real integration would necessitate, as a first step, bringing all health services back into public ownership, including the largely privatized social care sector, and nationalizing the pharmaceutical and medical supply companies. Competitive tendering and private sector. Much has been made of the white paper's proposal to abolish compulsory competitive tendering for clinical services. However, the handing out of big contracts to private companies will still continue. NHS bodies can still put services out to tender if they wish, and competitive tendering will continue for all non-clinical services in any case. Nor will contracts already handed out be revoked. The NHS has been developing framework agreements, which are lists of pre-approved companies that can be handed contracts for NHS work. This can make it easier for commissioning groups or trusts to fast-track the process. Since the beginning of the pandemic, the Tories have handed out billions to private companies for a range of things including test and trace, PPE, and private laboratories. These contracts were given out without a competitive tendering process, and lacked any transparency. They have allocated £10 billion to give to private hospitals after the pandemic to help reduce the waiting lists that have been inflated over the last year. Privatization in the NHS has taken different forms, one of those being Private Finance Initiative, PFI. This was a policy again initiated by the Tories, but massively ramped up under New Labour. New hospital buildings were paid for by expensive private finance, and the NHS pays these profiteers to use them for decades into the future. A staggering £55 billion is still owed by parts of the NHS to these companies. If left to the Tories, privatization in the NHS will go unchecked. Democracy, control and accountability. At the time of the 2012 Act, campaigners opposed the abolition of some of the powers of the Health Secretary, because they saw it as further fragmentation of the idea of a national health service, publicly owned and ultimately accountable to an elected government. It also gave the government a certain amount of plausible deniability. The government could tell bodies like NHS England to make billions of pounds in efficiency savings, but try to distance themselves from the cuts as they impact local people. But of course, the return of some of these direct powers to the Secretary of State, in a very imperfect democracy, especially when there is no working class political representation, does not mean genuine democratic accountability. The bodies that already exist, and the ones proposed in the white paper, are not elected. Even where there is representation for doctors, nurses, and the public, they are appointed. There are limited powers for local authorities, but even those are often not used, and the actions of local NHS bureaucrats not properly scrutinized. At the moment, local authorities can call in decisions of the local NHS, such as closures of hospitals or services, if they feel it has a detrimental effect, forcing the health secretary to look again at these decisions. The new proposals mean that the government could intervene directly at any point during the decision-making process. Either way, cuts and closures will only be stopped by building campaigns that involve the workforce, unions, and large numbers of local people, as has been done on a number of occasions over the last few years. Real democratic control over the NHS would need the creation of bodies that had elected representatives of the workforce, and also service users, i.e., the public. But it would also need the abolition of private companies' involvement in healthcare and the proper funding of services. NHS funding. The NHS has far fewer doctors, nurses, and beds per patient than similar countries like France and Germany. Germany has twice the number of nurses per capita than the UK, for example. Under the Tory and Tory/Liberal governments of the last few years, spending on the NHS has drastically slowed. Even though the current government has promised an increase in spending by 2023, it does not restore NHS spending back to the levels that existed in the previous periods. In fact, both the NHS and social care need a massive increase in funding, not least because we have an aging population. NHS staff have had their pay cut for a decade in real terms, in itself a factor in the 100,000 staff shortage nationally. Buildings are falling apart because of inadequate funding of maintenance. Government representatives are still claiming they are going to build 40 new hospitals, yet the funding they announced at that time has gone to only 6 trusts, and the reorganization that investment involves is actually closing hospitals, like in Leicester. Tory claims they are strengthening and greater integrating the NHSRMT promises. We need to fight for a fully funded, publicly owned and genuinely democratic NHS as part of a wider socialist society, to improve the health and lives of millions of people.